broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, I've never asked President Obama for his endorsement. And what's going on?
We do not condone or allow underage drinking. We had
Would he be scared of my 14-year-old daughter who might wear a hair cover?
Yeah. It's not set up.
You have been tweeting me.
Boy, what a headache.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here, we go through the looking glass. Sure, why not? We go places other talk shows can't go. And we do it with a big fat smile on our face. The Parents Television Council gets a lot of ink, but actually they don't do anything. And we're going to, we told you when we first heard of this group, it's a very important thing. It's a good service that we provide, and that is, oh, here's a parent group that wants to warn you about bad television. Actually, these probably aren't parents at all, and they probably don't represent a lot of people like themselves, and they're probably selecting a name like the Parents Television Council because it sounds official, and they're just, a new app helps parents avoid sex offenders on Halloween. Well, we'll talk about that. And an Obama anti-foreclosure program has bombed. And what a fraud that was. What an unbelievable fraud. And before you jump all on Obama's ass about it, and, you know, we should, don't be so ready to give the banks a pass. What's the story here? Do we want to be smart?
Yeah, well, I mean, Obama, the one that came up with the idea, the bank didn't come up with that idea.
Obama came up with the idea, and if it wasn't a workable idea, then the banks can go back and say, let's refine this, Mr. President, because we really want to help you make this a success. And the banks we know have really been, you know, there's a lot of bad blood out there and bad image and bad ink for the banks, and we really need to get ourselves rehabilitated. So we'll work with Washington. We've taken a hell of a lot of money, and we know a lot of that money, that TARP money, was targeted for this mortgage modification program. So what can we do to make this better? No, they didn't do that. What did the banks do? Well, what they did was this. They said, oh, we got a loan modify? Oh, okay. So you people that work for Bank of America, you people that work for Chase, and you know who you are, what you people did was you got surly and angry that you had to actually do something for someone. Because, yes, you took TARP money, but isn't that what was supposed to happen? I mean, you guys, you rolled the dice, and it came up snake eyes, and you almost pushed the entire economic life of the world into the abyss. But that's the way the ball game's played sometimes. Now, when it comes to some slob getting kicked out of his house, why should you give him a break? So we gave you all this money, and what happened after that was you decided that you were going to play it real hardball. And I know all about this program. You don't have to. And some people are you know, they're so misinformed, man.
Yeah, but these are deadbeats that don't pay any money or anything.
You don't know. They're not all deadbeats, man. These are people that were making their payments. And the economy and the loss of jobs and the loss of income brought on in large part by the mismanagement of the financial sector. No, it doesn't. Don't give me this. It's all about Washington. If you think it's all about Washington, you go ahead. Keep thinking that. Keep being dumb. Go ahead. Keep thinking it's all about Washington. Keep on thinking that, because you can think that the sky's green if you want.
Why are you talking about the sky being green and everything? They're the ones that Washington did it because of the taxes and stuff.
You know, but the more you talk, the less you know. You don't make any sense at all.
You don't, man.
What do you mean? You're saying Obama didn't do nothing wrong.
I ain't saying Obama didn't do nothing wrong. I ain't saying Bush didn't do anything wrong. But I'm telling you, there's other stuff you got to look at, man. Yeah, I love these people that say, I believe what I believe and I will not be moved. Okay, fine. And you believe the sky's green and you will not be. What do you think of a guy that says the sky is green and I will not? No one can change my mind.
He's an idiot.
He's an idiot. He's a proud idiot. He's a proud idiot. And by God, he'll go to his death. The sky is green and no one is going to change me. I've lived a long time. I've lived a long time and I've been through an awful lot. And by God, I'm here to tell you all that the sky is green and I will not be moved.
Well, you got to respect that.
No, I don't have to respect that at all. No, I don't.
Yeah, you do, because at least he believes in what he believes in.
No, I don't respect that at all. No. No.
Why not? I mean, a man believe in what he believes.
I don't care if he believes in what he believes. What's that supposed to mean?
Because he believes in it.
Who cares if he believes in it? The sky's green. I got to respect that. I don't respect an idiot, bud. I don't respect idiots. I don't care how firmly entrenched in their, quote, truth they are. If he's an idiot, he's an idiot. And all he does is slow down the progress of the world. So these cats that are all just... Now, I'm here to tell you something. These creeps in the financial sector... Yeah, sure, you can think what you want about Obama. He's the worst thing since, you know, he's the worst thing since cancer. Okay, fine, great. We get that out of the way? Does everybody feel better? Great. Obama sucks. I agree. He sucks. Great. Now let's move on to some, let's move on to the meat and potatoes. Let's quit fooling around. Because the more you start yakking about Obama, the more I'm convinced that most of these people watch cartoons. Because Obama, when you lean on Obama, what you're leaning on basically is you're saying the cartoons are lousy on his channel. Let's get to the news, man. Yeah, Obama did this and Obama did fine, great, good, fine. Obama sucks. Okay? Now let's get down to it. The financial sector, whatever you want to call it, whether it's Wall Street, the banks, I don't care, had as much, if not as bigger hand in the decimation of the American economy as any politician in Washington. If you don't believe that, I'm telling you, you're living in fairyland, man. You're just, you know.
Okay, then I'm going to live in fairyland. Because I think that given let the private sector be, and the private sector will do, like what Reagan said and everything.
What about that?
What about what? What he said?
Well, yeah, Reagan said... You let the private sector reign.
You let the private sector reign, huh? You let the private sector reign, you got acid rain, man. You let the private sector reign, you got 12-hour work days, you got child labor. That's the private sector. I ain't saying the private sector ain't good, but I'm saying that the private sector once had child labor, 12-hour work days, unsafe working conditions, and the private sector wouldn't do anything about it until the government stepped in and told them to do something about it. You think we got a OSHA standards because the private sector decided one day, oh, gee, I think it's really unsafe in here with all this asbestos and these cemented up doors and women and children working 15-hour days. I think we'll clean everything up. No.
What are you talking about? What did the government just didn't do it?
No, you know what it took, bud? It took a fire in a factory in New York killing I don't know how many hundreds of women before they finally got serious about OSHA, occupational standards. It took kids sick with typhoid working 15-hour days and enterprising reporters who went down into some of these ghettos and slums of New York to look at the conditions that people were living in to alert the American public. We've got child labor that's going on. This can't happen, man. It took, unfortunately, this is where the private sector reigns. When the private sector decides, well, it's got no interest in the welfare of people. Look, I'm in the private sector, right?
Yeah, you own a business.
I own a business. I care about my workers. I mean, I care about the people that work for me, but I ain't running no welfare over here, man. I ain't, I'm doing what I'm doing. I can only do what I can only do. And I am not going to cut into my profit margin to start, what do you want me to do? Go out and buy some baby bassinets and,
I mean, nobody got a baby.
Even if they don't have a baby, but if they did, I ain't going to do that. Now, if I make enough money, I'm probably using the wrong guy as an example because I would. If I made enough money with this company, I'd do all kinds of things to make the life of people who work for me better. But I don't make that kind of bread yet. But the fact of the matter is, getting back to what we were saying, this mortgage modification program, or the HAMP, the Home Affordable Modification Program, and I'm quoting directly a friend of mine that works for a major bank. I will not name the bank. But he works for a major bank, and he, guess what he does?
Yeah, setting up a loan modification.
That's right. My friend is in the loan modification department. You know what he called it? A fraud. A fraud. A fraud being perpetrated by the banks, by the slobs that run the banks, by slobs that were happy to take the money from TARP We're happy to take all that money. We're very happy to, you know, oh, yes, yeah, that'll grease the wheels just fine. We'll start lending the money. You know how long it took them to do that? Oh, they're very happy to do that. And when it comes time to turn around and deal with a homeowner that's scared to death they're going to lose their home, some of these people have gone into their savings to try to make the payments because they think on the other end there's going to be relief, and there isn't. You understand? In other words, you go into a home loan modification, these people go into their savings feeling, well, good, I'm in the home loan modification program. Okay, so let's dip into our savings. Let's make our payments to show good faith, because they have been making, we're talking, folks, about people that are making their payments. But they just can't do it anymore. But they decide, well, I'm in home loan modification, there will be relief, so let's keep making the payments. And there isn't any. There isn't any. They're lied to. And when I say lied to, I'm telling you they're lied to directly by the banks. Obama doesn't get on the phone and go, hi, I want to give you, no, on second thought. No, it's some jackass at the bank. They're being lied to. They're being told they'll be called back and they're not. They're being told they're going to have a representative and they don't. They leave 4, 5, 6, 7 phone messages, 4, 5, 6 emails. Bank of America, Chase, you name it. Name any bank you want. Those are the two biggies. And these thieves who took that TARP money gladly after they mishandled mortgages and well, I think they're in the financial business. I could be wrong. And the business that they're in that they get paid to have some expertise in, they handled it so badly, the world's economy was pushed to the precipice. And these very same people now say, well, you know what, on second thought, we ain't going to modify nothing. We're taking your house back. Rude as hell on the phone. I mean, I've heard the stories, folks. No, my house is not. Thank God Phil Hendry's home is fine. You know why? Because I'm lucky. I'm a lucky man. I can afford to pay my mortgage. And I don't consider myself better than anybody else. I have been fortunate that the worst of this thing hasn't touched me. But I know a lot of people, good, hardworking people, and they're being affected by this. They're being lied to by the big banks. They're being treated with absolute boorishness by these loan modification people. I mean, it is a disgrace. And the best thing that I could hope for would be the following thing. I hope Bank of America and Chase and whoever else, I hope you guys go out of business. Honest to God. I hope somehow, some way, we find another way to do business in this country. Having said what I've just said, and you'll notice, I don't know who my sponsor, you know, maybe they're a sponsor. I don't know. But I'm telling you honestly, it's a disgrace.
Yeah, but I bet you your loan's with B of A.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my God. So you just said what you did say, and you said B of A.
That's right. That's what I did, bud.
Wow. You ain't afraid they're going to, like, take the house away?
Take my house away? What are they going to take? They're going to take my house away because I talk bad about them? Is that what they're going to do? I got my mortgage through Bank. Let me tell you something, my man. I put 5 mortgages through Bank of America. 5! 5! I do business through Bank of America. My merchant's accounts are with Bank of America. My retirement's with Bank of America.
Well, yeah, well, they could do stuff with it.
They wouldn't dare do stuff with it. If anybody's got a right to talk about it, I do. That's right, B of A. I got my retirement, my merchant business, I got my checking, I got my mortgage. I got a lot of stuff through you guys, so you better believe I got a right to talk about a few things. I don't like the way you've been treating people. And if you want to continue to have me as a customer.
Man, what if they say, okay, they can't take their house or nothing, though.
What are they going to take how are they going to do that?
Because you talk bad.
There's nothing in the, what are you, out of your mind, man?
They can't do that?
They're going to take my house back because I talk bad about them.
Yeah, but you don't know, man.
Oh, yeah, okay, right. Well, I don't know. Yeah, you're right, man. Maybe somebody, you know, in the middle of the night, someone will come and get me. The LA Times tries to answer the age-old question, are Bert and Ernie more than just friends? Are they gay? And the LA Times decides, yes, they are. And is this really a news story? And who's the LA Times to decide those things? And why? Why are we worried about that? And all kinds of stuff. Plus, a new app tells parents where the local sex offenders are for Halloween. PhilHendryShow.com is our website. Go to our website. Go, 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 go. Go now. Go, go.
Phil Hendry.
You're going to get in trouble.
Ooh. listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now, it's Iron Swine.
Yeah, Iron Swine on the Phil Hendry Show.
Today on Iron Swine, Bank of America is going to kick Phil Hendry out of his house because he talked bad.
Yeah, Phil Hendry was on his show, and he said bad thing about him, and Bank of America called him.
Hello, Iron Swine. Oh, Phil Hendry, okay.
And then Iron Swine go to Phil Henry's house. Who is it?
Yeah, it's Iron Swine.
One moment, please. Yeah, what do you want?
I gotta kick you out. You said Bank of America, they stink and everything, so you're kicked out. Ah! Iron Swine, kicked him out and everything. Brought to you by Chase.
Brought to you by Chase.
I like that touch.
It's a really nice touch. Okay, so Iron Swine had me kicked out, huh?
Yeah. They're going to hire Iron Swine to kick you out.
You know what I like to think? I like to think the following, man. If you're in the news, you know, if you're in the news as a financial institution like Bank of America, that you can take it. You can take the criticism. You can man up and take the criticism, you know. I do a lot of business with Bank of America, and I think the time has come that they, you know, that they've got to start to face a little bit of the music here, man. And as Steve Dooley and Jeff Dowder were arguing on Twitter the other night when they said, what if you have to face the music and the music is in the mirror and it's the 1812 Overture? Then what?
What?
I didn't get it either. All right, 877-876-PHIL. If you have children, you'll be hauling around the neighborhoods on Sunday gathering sweets. It's almost impossible to know where the sexual offenders may be lurking. No, it isn't. I'm reading from the story, but the question, it's not that. However, the guy that made this phone app for your iPhone or your Android would like you to think it's really hard. That way he can get you to shell out $2 for this phone app for your iPhone or your Android, so you'll know where the sexual predators are in your neighborhood. Now, you can go online and do it and find it, and it won't cost you a dime. But IndyPosted.com, which I'm assuming is in Indianapolis, decided they'd make some money for this guy, and they'll say, it's almost impossible to know where the sexual offenders may be lurking. Why did they say that?
Well, how are you supposed to know?
You can go online, man, and find out. Every state in the union has a website to access where you can find out where sexual offenders are living. They're supposed to register.
Yeah, but every state?
I don't know. Maybe it isn't every state. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes, every state. How do you like that?
Yeah, but you don't know, man. If not, where's Indianapolis?
Where's Indianapolis?
Well, where is it?
You know what? I'm not going to tell you.
That's all right. We'll look it up.
Yeah, you look it up, man. And when you find out where Indianapolis is, what state it is, tell me whether or not the sexual predators in that state must register their address, their whereabouts, and then tell me if there's a website that people can access to find out where that is. And I've got money that says, yes, they do.
Well, hold on.
I ain't holding on for nothing, man. BinVerified.com has released a mobile app to help locate registered sex offenders in the areas, and it's only $1.99. Well, ain't that something? See, I'm not automatically impressed. Look at this. www.familywatchdog.us has a searchable database for all states for free in the United States. So kiss it on Main Street, and I'll give you a half hour to draw a crowd.
That's not fair. How'd you find that?
I didn't. Jason did. While you guys are playing thumb it with Iron Swine, he's doing his job.
What do you mean for free?
For free! Is what I mean for free. I don't automatically get impressed with some guy when he says, oh, yes. And, you know, you can almost hear the choir music and the organ playing. This is to help you find sexual predators. Well, that's really great. Thank you for doing that. And it's only going to cost me $2, huh? That's right, only $2. Well, you know that IMDb.com is free. Twitter is free. Facebook is free. I got all kinds of stuff for free. I got to pay $2 for your, what is that again? Your app? So that when I'm walking around with my kids on Halloween, I'm doing something I should have done earlier in the week, and found out where the sex predators are located. I really hope that by doing this segment and telling you guys what I'm telling you, it hurts their business. This stuff bothers me. Mashable.com, which can't be worth its weight either, says users can adjust the range of their search from a tenth of a mile to several. So if you decide you want to go trick-or-treating, say, in a 15-mile square, 15-mile radius, A map mode identifies registered offenders as pins on a map or a really ghouly face or something. Anyway, while an augmented reality view shows users look through the camera lens of their smartphones to pull up addresses in any given... BinVerified.com plans to release a search by address feature in the app's next iteration. Save your money, folks. BinVerified.com, they ain't going to have another iteration. L.A. Times is investigating how whether or not Bert and Ernie are queer. That's nuts.
Phil Hendry.
That's nuts.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our website, philhendryshow.com. When we are done here tonight, we will have, of course, as usual, a show log that we will put up for you. And you'll see what was up and what wasn't, man, on the show tonight, on our show log. Every night we post a show log. And tomorrow you'll be able to go to, under a category that says recent shows. You'll see our video cast there on demand as well as our audio on demand. And then we have an archive that goes back, the archive of the Phil Hendry Show. Brother, it goes back years and years all the way to right now at present, 1999, 98. And I think we even have something from 1996 on our website, philhendryshow.com. Are Bert and Ernie gay? Well, this has been a popular question along the lines of, well, I don't know, you know, did Beaver Cleaver get drafted and go to Vietnam? You know, did Eddie Haskell go into adult films and start doing porn? You know, goofy, stupid, not true, but nonetheless, kicked around. Well, goofy, stupid, but nonetheless kicked around? Yeah, huh? L.A. Times is now investigating it. Now, that just goes to show you how done the L.A. Times is, man. Are Bert and Ernie gay? Official Sesame Street Twitter account sparks rumors with ambiguous post. See, because the Daily News says it's ambiguous, or because IndiePost.com says that it's this or it's that, folks, you're smarter right now. Everybody listening to me right now, I don't care where you are, and I don't care who you are. This is how much I know about the media at present, 2010, state of the art. This is state of the art information that I'm going to give you right now. You're not going to believe me, but I'm telling you it's true. Every single person listening to me right now, you are smarter than the average news gatherer and reporter at present in the media. Smarter. You are. You're smarter than the average person that's writing news, gathering news, reporting news, editing news. That's how bad it is. I would say this, that's how smart you've gotten. How about that? Bert and Ernie, are they gay? All right, well, gee, I don't know, man. The LA Times investigated. Now, it doesn't matter that in 2002, the Sesame Workshop, threatened to sue an LA filmmaker whose film Ernest and Bertram portrayed the portrayed the puppets in a volatile gay relationship ending in Ernie's suicide. They threatened to sue them. It doesn't matter that they've repeatedly said that Bert and Ernie are not straight, they're not gay, they're puppets. Sesame Workshop president and CEO Gary Nell said they don't exist below the waist. And why is that? Because they're for kids!
Well, still got to go to the bathroom.
Who?
Kids.
All right, that's going to the bathroom. That ain't having sex.
Yeah, man, don't you understand?
You know, and this constant speculation as to sexuality when it comes to things having to do with children, it's really sickening. And call me square and call me old-fashioned. Do whatever you want. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I will always say it. When it comes to kids, and just as this gentleman said, this Mr. Nell, these are puppets. And so, therefore, sexuality, these are puppets intended for children. Therefore, sexuality does not enter into this at all. The LA Times investigates. You guys, I'm telling you, you got far better things to do, man, like clearing out your desks, like figuring out where they're, what part of the LA Times building they're going to blow up to put the new stadium. That's what you got to figure out. The L.A. Times took the post as the latest evidence in a history of clues that shows the show has dropped over the years that Bert and Ernie are more than just friends. How do you know the show's dropped clues? They said they haven't. And they're a show for kids. They're not a show for the New York Daily News. They're not a show for the L.A. Times. They're not a show for some jive-ass you know, filmmaker. Anyway, the LA Times took the post, the latest evidence of the history of Clues. The show has dropped over the years that Bert and Ernie are more than just friends, reviving the nearly age-old question, are Bert and Ernie gay? The puppet duo have been best friends and roommates since the show began over 40 years ago, but curious fans have long wondered if there is more to their close relationship. Those fans, themselves sexually confused, include Kurt Anderson, who wrote a book called The Real Thing in 1980. Mr. Anderson, long asexual, said, quote, they do their jobs well and live a splendidly settled life together in an impeccably decorated cabinet. In my book, that makes them fags. No, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. He didn't say that. That's what he was basically saying, though. As proof, the Times cites Sesame Street, a history of inviting openly gay celebrity guests to the show. Oh, my God. Not that. They brought on Wanda Sykes, who tried to indoctrinate children. Neil Patrick Harris tried to turn kids queer. If that's not enough to convince you, the Times adds Sesame, a spoof of HBO's racy series True Blood, which stars gay characters and has a gay fan base as evidence of another effort to appeal to gay viewers. Now some people are wondering, is Sesame Street brought to you by the letters G-A-Y, the Times asks. The LA Times, long on the brink of going out of business, decided to come up with this article in the hopes that it would stimulate their dwindling intelligentsia readership. No, it didn't. Guys like Phil Hendry, who isn't all that bright to begin with, was able to blow this article out of the water in about 10 minutes. Reading it on his show and mocking the Times' efforts, Mr. Hendry did point out that Sesame Street has long said that Bert and Ernie are not gay, they're puppets, they're for kids, so there is no sexuality involved. But the sexually frustrated animals and idiots and reporters at the LA Times would not see it that way and must turn it into a sexploitation article so that they can milk a few lousy quarters out of some poor schmuck tomorrow as he's having coffee. So there you have it.
Yeah, but you're just saying all of that because you hate the LA Times.
No, bud, I'm not saying all of that.
Well, what do you mean, like, that the puppet, they can still have sex?
No, they can't. Are you idiots? How can a puppet... the point that I'm making here, and I know you guys don't want to know...
No, I'm just saying, you're saying they can't have no personality. I'm saying they can't have personality.
Personality they can have. Sex they can't have. Just as this man said, they're puppets. They're for children. Children! And so therefore, they do not have sex. And the reason why they don't have sex is because in the world of children, there is no sex. There's just children. Okay? As much as some adults would love to introduce children to sex, some adults would love to have their children sexualized. Some adults love seeing their little girls up there at the age of 5 bumping and grinding and acting in a manner that is so unwholesome. Somebody ought to take these parents out back and beat them with a crowbar. Some parents would like to do that. Unfortunately for them, Sesame Street very clearly says they're puppets, they're for kids, there's no sexuality involved. Thank you.
Well, I don't know, but I still say that... Okay, what does it mean by mohawk?
What do you mean mohawk?
Yeah, when Bert said, I got a mohawk, but my Mr. T, but mine's more mo, his mohawk.
What about it?
Mo means homo.
Oh, is that what that means, huh?
Yeah, everybody knows.
Oh, okay. Mo means homo. Well, all right. It couldn't mean, for instance, that mine is better than Mr. T's, huh?
Yeah, but he didn't say better, man. He said mo.
So he said Mr. T's is more hawk and his is more mo, so he's saying homo.
Yeah, that's what everybody said about it, and that's why the LA Times did what they did, and you're yelling and screaming for no reason.
Well, you're right, bud. Thank you very much. So I take all of it back. They are gay because Bert said something about his hawk being mo.
No, man, it's mohawk. He mo and the hawk.
He's mo and the hawk.
No, the mohawk. Mr. T's is hawk and his is mo.
All right, his mohawk is mo.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, man, you're the one that's making it hard to understand.
No, okay, yeah, whatever you say, man. I don't want to get you guys angry. You know what they say about the mentally ill.
All right. You'll see.
Okay, bud. I'm waiting, man. You go ahead. You go out and do your investigation. The LA Times did it, and they dug up some pretty interesting stuff, but I'm sure you could find some other things. Parents Television, here's another group of stumble bums. Boy, this is fantastic. We've had a treasure trove tonight, man. First, you got the LA Times. They can't find their ass with both hands. And here comes the Parents Television Council. Who are they? What do they do? Nobody was really ever able to figure it out in their sweet short existence. They came along with all kinds of problems, with all kinds of TV shows, gave themselves a name, the Parents Television Council, that sounds semi-official, got all pissed off, said there were all kinds of people upset about all kinds of things, and guess what? No, they ain't. So the Parents Television Council, they were the first ones to start a big stink about Bleep My Dad Says, right? They didn't like the name of the show, even though they bleeped it out. Well, guess what's happening now, man? The watchdog group was seemingly everywhere in the media last week after it called out a racy GQ photo shoot of Glee stars for bordering on pedophilia, which I agreed with them on that one. But the New York Times recently examined how it's growing less effective. And the example of that is this TV show that they couldn't get off the air for love or money. In fact, they couldn't get anybody interested in it one way or the other. On a recent episode of Bleep My Dad Says, which is a target of the Parents Television Council, actor William Shatner defends his parenting style to his son.
Why was I a sad baby?
I don't know. Why is any baby sad? Crawl around all day long with a load in their pants. Nobody knows what they're trying to say. Same reason Larry King is sad.
Bonnie and I were looking through my old baby pictures. We couldn't find one of me smiling.
Oh, let me take a look at that. You do look pretty grumpy.
That was right after you told me that Santa wasn't real.
Well, I was the one that bought you the bike. I'm not going to let some fat drunk in a red suit take the credit. Besides, you were three. It was time you knew the truth.
Advertisers still fear the Parents Television Council, but not as much as they used to, says John Rash, who teaches mass media and politics at the University of Minnesota, and as a former executive at Campbell Milfen, a media buying agency in Minneapolis. It's hard for the council to stir up indignation about cultural issues at a time of economic woe, and it's certainly hard for them to stir up things about cultural issues they don't know anything about, he didn't say. The New York Times points to the PTC's previous successes of getting CBS and News Corp to pay record-setting fines for indecency and even scaring Fox into blurring cartoon nudity on Family Guy. But now the group is weakened by some advertisers that will not bow to pressure and even internal strife by a former executive. It's accused of extortion. I love that. The Times detailed the Parent Teachers Council's internal strife, including dwindling donations. They earned $2.9 million. Well, what a racket. In 2009, they earned $2.9 million. What a racket.
What?
What? You know, man, you talk about making money. In 2009, the council's former vice president for development, Patrick W. Salazar, wrote an email that alleged almost 195,000 pieces of donor member mail was never sent to the intended recipient. Most of these were time-sensitive documents whose value is now shot. The council admitted to some delays, but says it is currently caught up. Salazar was fired in November, probably for pointing this out, and according to the New York Times, attempted to extract thousands of dollars in severance to threatening to alert the media about the company's dysfunction. I say the guy's doing a good job if he's going to do that. The PTC asked the L.A. Police Department to look into extortion, but the city attorney failed to prosecute, alleging that Salazar did not commit a crime. What he wanted was severance from your rotten company, and yes, he was going to go to the media and tell them what you guys don't do or do. The council's president, Timothy Winter, admits the organization's been weakened because of the recession, but still points to recent accomplishments such as, quote, detailing an initiative to have TV networks alert parents if their programs would contain ads for Viagra or erectile dysfunction drugs and the enforcement of regulation about violent video games. Well, in other words, they don't serve any real purpose. And yet, you know, here is CharityNavigator.org. Now, CharityNavigator.org is a website that we heartily endorse on the Phil Hendry Show. We've used it from time to time to vet charities and other agencies, not-for-profit agencies, that ask for your money. So we suggest you go to CharityNavigator.org. And Jason just messaged me. The Parent Teacher Council rates only 2 stars out of a possible how many, Jace? I think they go up to five or six, right? And they have rated a great many charities four. They've rated a great many charities at a very high level. Tim Winter, the president of the Parent Teacher Council, makes $167,000. $167,000 a year! Now, that's a racket. You can tell me that it's not. You can say they're doing something just fantastic. Oh, when I say Parent Television Council, excuse me, not Parent Teacher. Parent Television Council. As far as I'm concerned, that's a racket. $167,000 a year. What do you do, Winter? I'll tell you what you do. You fool around with a lot of nonsense about Viagra ads. You're screwing around with a show, bleep, my dad says. Whatever. Why don't you go after these guys that are saying that Bert and Ernie are having sex with each other, man? Then I'd be with you, okay? Why don't you get photographic proof that Bert and Ernie wear condoms, and let's be done with it?
Exactly. That way they'll say they're having it protected.
Right. The revenue from the Parent Teacher Council, Parent Television Council, in 2006 was $5.6 million. And throughout that entire year, Bert and Ernie continued to have unprotected sex.
Yeah.
And the Parent Television Council didn't do diddly.
And what about the legalizing pot in California?
Huh? What about it?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what's coming up in the next segment.
Right, you were reading the tease. All right, anyway, the legalized pot measure in California gets the backing of former police chief, but it ain't going to help. We'll find out. PhilHenryShow.com for all your Phil Henry Show needs.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Bert and Ernie, you had protected sex.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Head on over to PhilHenryShow.com. You can also follow our Twitter comments as well as link up to Facebook. So if you're PhilHenryShow.com, you want to follow us on Twitter, you can head to Twitter from there. You can also go to Facebook from there. And our new affiliate that we welcome, whenever we get a new affiliate, we put on our homepage, The Truth, WTNT, AM 730 in Washington, D.C., and a lot of other cool things. All right, California pot advocates released their first television ad starring a former police chief. Well, ain't that just dandy? The Yes on 19 campaign released this ad today featuring Joseph McNamara, who was a guest on our show a while back. He is the former chief of police of San Jose.
Let's be honest. The war against marijuana has failed. I know from 35 years in law enforcement. Today, it's easier for a teenager to buy pot than beer. Proposition 19 will tax and control marijuana just like alcohol. It will generate billions of dollars for local communities, allow police to focus on violent crimes, and put drug cartels out of business. Join me and many others in law enforcement. Vote yes on Proposition 19.
Well, okay, so that's the ad, and we're voting next week here in the state of California on that and many other issues, as all of us are in this country. The campaign to legalize marijuana in California has been pretty low-key in terms of media ad buys, but that ad that you heard there jumped into the fray. That's Joseph McNamara. He's the former police chief of San Jose, as we mentioned. He's also part of an organization called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and we had him on the program when we talked to him. And, you know, we said to him what we say to you, and I think he agreed with us. He said, you ain't going to get any legalized weed until we get the law enforcement coming out in favor. And he said, absolutely. So, you know, there has to be an education of law enforcement in order to get this thing passed. It ain't going to happen, in my opinion, but, you know, there was a poll results summary. They put legalization 1 point behind the opposition, 46.3 to 45.3. That is a recent poll having to do with Proposition 8, that it is losing by a slight margin, but losing nonetheless. Mel Gibson's furious at producers of Hangover Part 2 for booting him from the flick. Gibson's minor role as a Bangkok tattoo artist was seen as a comeback for his tattered career, but producers were quick to cut him loose when cast members, including Zach Galifianakis, or whatever the hell, objected to working with him. A source close to Gibson told, what do you want?
You're getting in trouble. You don't do the guy's name right.
I don't give a damn, man. I can't pronounce his names. I'll learn it over time. Source close to Gibson. Don't tell me what I'm going to get in trouble for.
Yeah, but I mean, that guy might be a bigwig or something.
Zach Galifianakis is a bigwig? Fine. How do you pronounce it? Galifianakis. Okay?
Well, say it like you got muscular dystrophy, man.
Say it like I got muscular dystrophy.
Galifianakis. It sounds like you got like a problem or something.
Boy, you guys are really butting in, aren't you?
That's a bitchin' movie. You can't mess around with it.
Oh, what, are all these cats now heavyweights or something? All the guys from The Hangover?
Look what they did to Mel Gibson.
Well, that's a good point. Anyway, Gibson's minor role was seen as a comeback. Gibson had a good point. This is what he said. He doesn't understand why Mike Tyson, a drug user who turned his life around, was given a chance while Mel was kicked to the curb. Everybody deserves a second chance. Tyson was also a convicted rapist. Ain't that the truth? Alan Nerob, who represents Gibson and Liam Neeson, issued a statement hinting at resentment over the firing. Nerob said Neeson will replace Gibson in the part, pending clearance of cast and crew background check. Yeah, man, they had Tyson.
Yeah, they thought the same thing. Tyson ain't bagging on Jews and everything.
Charles Wagon is our technical director. Dan Northcraft is our screener and associate producer. Jason Rance was our producer. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.